Gracious loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you today for being with us, for your loving kindness, compassion towards us. And as we begin this service, Lord, we claim your presence to be with us, that you will speak us through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So right now, Anne is going to present a special music for us.
Good morning, happy Sabbath, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath.
I need Jesus. Do you?
Amen.
Amen. That's true. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture, numbers on my side, angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is your story, this is your song, praising my Savior all day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is your story, this is your song, praising our Savior all day long.
Amen.
Thank you, Anne. Wow. Perfect submission, and then we have a peace. Wow. Well, good morning, everybody, again. This is a live stream YouTube presentation as well as a live conference call nationwide. We have people joining us from all around the country. And as you watch us on YouTube and you like with what we present, give us your support, subscribe, share with others, and click the ring bell. There's a little button there that you could see, and you'll be notified when the new videos are posted. So visit our website, also creativemediaministries.org, and to see what we have to offer. Thank you for your support, for watching us, and we'll go into the Word of God now. As we open the Bible, I'd like to have a quick word of prayer with you. Loving Father, we want to praise you and thank you once again for this precious opportunity to come together. In spite of the fact that we are apart from each other by distance, but Father, we are one in spirit. And as we open your word, we claim the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us. Speak to us, Lord. And whatever needs to be done in our lives through your word, Father, we give you permission in Jesus' name. Amen. The lives of people have been changed through the Word of God in the Old Testament and New Testament. So the Word of God was healing the sick and was raising the dead. in the past, and it's still doing the same today, because the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Then if you do believe, then you will see the evidence of it today. So every time we read or hear the Word of God, I have great expectation that there will be healing, there will be resurrection. And it is not by the word of man, it will be by the word of God. This is the only thing that can heal and to raise the dead, the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Today, some of us may need resurrection. Some of us may need healing. We are going to go in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. This is an amazing chapter that we have so many lessons to learn in this chapter. It is the story of the death and resurrection of Lazarus. In chapter 10, Jesus was almost stoning for telling people and leaders that he is one with the Father when he said in John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews pick up stones to stone him. So in verse 39, John tells us that he escaped out of their hand. So he went beyond the Jordan River, where John was baptizing at first. It was about 2 days' journey from Jerusalem. And he stayed there. You see, at the time of Moses and Joshua, the Jews were slow to believe the word of God. And God had to perform the miracles. And now Jesus was about to cross the Jordan River to go back to Jerusalem to perform the greatest miracle of all so that people, his people, can believe his words. And at that time, as he is beyond the Jordan River, his friend Lazarus gets sick. Let's read verse 1 and 2. Michael, please, if you are with us, we'll give you that privilege to read the word for us.
Sure. You said verse 1 and 2?
Yes.
Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick.
Mm-hmm. Now, the story of Lazarus took place in Bethany. And Bethany, you probably know, the meaning of the word Bethany means Beth house. Bethany was located 2 miles from Jerusalem. It was a countryside. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary lived in Bethany. It was in their home that Jesus so often found rest. It was in Bethany where Jesus lodged after the cleansing of the temple. It was in Bethany that Jesus was anointed for burial in the house of Simon the leper. In the same place where Jesus was anointed for burial, he's also raising a person from the dead, symbolically showing that he was about to change places with sinful humanity and to take upon himself what we deserve, we who are so dear to him. And it was in the area of Bethany that Jesus blessed the disciples and ascended up to heaven. So as we see, Bethany was a meaningful place, important place for Jesus. Now we have several points in this chapter, chapter 11. Some of them are strong, some of them are very strong, and some of them even stronger. So I challenge you, listen to the end of the message, because you want the Lord to do in your life what pleases to him. Verse 4, 3 and 4.
So the sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it.
Wow. Wow. The sickness is not unto death. So the sickness is a trial for them, right? And point number one is the purpose of trials is to glorify God. The trial here, as we see, is sickness. It is serious sickness. It resulted in death. In verse 14, Jesus is saying to his disciples, Lazarus is dead. And now, take a look at verse 3 and 5 again.
So the sisters sent word to him. The sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus.
Please notice that this trial happened to a very close friend of Jesus. So if you are friends of Jesus, you might have some trials in your life. And just in case, if there's someone that is listening to us today who is sick, in fear, in trial, listen carefully to the word of God. Verse 6, so when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Wow. Why did Jesus stay there for 2 more days? Didn't he know? Well, my friends, he knew it. And maybe you are going today to your Bethany experience, and Jesus did not show up yet. You know why? Jesus has a plan. Jesus did not rush to Bethany. He was not impulsive. He did not follow his feelings. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows that this sickness, these trials in the lives of his friends will glorify God. And how is God glorified through trials? Let's take a look what the Bible says. Open with me, please, the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1, and verses 2, 3, and 4. James, chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4.
Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
What does it mean, perfect and complete, lacking nothing? It means maturity. Trials are designed to mature us. You don't have to feel joy when the trials are hitting us. No. But we can consider it as joy because we know what it's going to produce. Trials lead to maturity. We grow into his likeness. That's how God is glorified. Every circumstance in our lives is caused or allowed by God. Nothing happened by accident. It can bring glory to God. And it is not the strength of our trial, but our attitude toward the trial that will glorify God. Can I hear amen to that?
Amen.
Consider, the Bible says, it all joy. Wow. Consider is the word that reflects faith, not the feeling. And one of my favorite books, the Christian author, wrote in Desire of Ages, page 528, the following, to all who are reaching out to feel the guiding hand of God, the moment of greatest discouragement is the time when divine help is nearest. Wow. They will look back with thankfulness upon the darkest part of their way. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly. From every temptation and every trial, he will bring them with firmer faith and richer experience. And I'm going to read you a couple of verses here because God can be trusted. Can we trust God with our trial so we can glorify God? 1 Peter 4:16 says, if anyone suffers as Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. And in verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Wow. Wow. So we cannot become mature without trials, my friends. And God wants to prepare His people for eternity. So if you are a believer, nothing will ever happen by accident in your life. Are you going to a trial now? What is your attitude toward it? Are you praising God for the opportunity to grow, to mature, and to glorify God? Or not? In John 12, verse 11, the Bible tells us that on account of Lazarus, many believed in Jesus. Can it be told of us? On account of us, many believed in Jesus. So point number one, the purpose of trials is to glorify God. Now back to John chapter 11, verse 7, it says, then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Wow. We could see here that Jesus is fearless, bold, courageous. Why? Take a look at verse 8. It says, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Wow. The disciples, as you could see, were scared. You know why? Because if they join Jesus going back to Jerusalem, Jesus will be stoned, and they may get the same treatment with Jesus. They were scared. Take a look at verse 16. What one of them saying, therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us go so that we may die with him. How human it is. Fear causes us to say and to do things that may not be to the glory of God. You see, the disciples were with Jesus for a long time, and they were afraid. What does it tell us? Simply this, we can follow Jesus for years and end up in fear of acting upon the word of God, in fear of standing for what is right, of telling the truth. We all fall into these traps time to time, and we need deliverance from it. Verse 9 and 10. Michael, please read for us. Verse 9 and 10.
Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him.
Wow. Wow. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble. You see, the day associates with the light. The disciples were failing to walk in the light that Jesus gave them in verse 4. God will be glorified. You don't have to worry or be afraid. You can have courage and boldness and be fearless. And if the disciples would believe and walk in the light that Jesus gave them in verse 4, they would have courage and boldness and be fearlessness, and they would retain their peace. And my friends, if we do not have those attributes, it is simply because we do not walk in the light. For the disciples, the light was the spoken word of Jesus. For us, it is the written word, the Bible. Verse 10, it says, but if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Look at this very carefully now. Night associates with the darkness. And if there is darkness in our life and we are stumbling, it is because the light is not in us. And Jesus declared that he is the light of this world. And if Jesus is in us, no matter how dark this world can be, we will not stumble. It will be Jesus in us who does not stumble. Anyone listening today, that you could actually identify yourself that, yes, you are stumbling. You are in the night, in the darkness, in fear regarding your life, regarding your health, your future, because the light is not in you. You know what you could do, my friends? You actually can invite the light to come in, and you will not stumble. There will be no fear. There will be a total peace. Just as the light eradicates the darkness, so is the love expels the fear. And Jesus is the light, and Jesus is the love. My friends, we all realize that we need Jesus in our lives. Every moment, not just 5 minutes in the morning when we pray, every moment of our lives, especially in times like this. Point number two. God's children avoid being in darkness and in fear and stumbling because the light, Jesus himself, is in them. And having the light in us, we will be fearless and courageous as Jesus was. Moving to our next point. Let's turn to chapter 11, verse 20 and 21 now. Verse 20 and 21.
Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
Wow. Jesus came to Bethany, and Martha believes in your statement in healing. She believed that Jesus could heal your brother. Most likely she had witnessed some of the miracles that Jesus performed. And in verse 22, "Even now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Whatever you ask. We can see that Martha displays strong faith here. In other words, she's telling that nothing is impossible with you. Nothing. And Jesus is answering verse 23, "Your brother will rise again." You can imagine the sound of his voice, that his tone is actually very promising, that he's about to do something about this situation. And then we read verse 24. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." What a startling statement. Martha is shifting from faith to knowledge. Wow. How often we do that same thing. Martha boldly declared her confidence in the doctrine of resurrection. I think she was a good Seventh-day Adventist. She knows when and the details. She said this in the presence of the resurrection himself. She had equated the resurrection with the end of time. "I know that he will rise at the end of, at the last day, at the end of time, but not now." She was giving a little Bible study to Jesus here about the doctrine of resurrection. Do you see it? And how many people do I know who believe that Jesus can perform a miracle, but they're saying it cannot happen in my life? Or they are saying, it may happen, it can happen to somebody else, but not to me. Or they're saying, it may happen to me, but not now. My friends, we are pushing away or into the future what God is willing to do for us now, because according to our faith, it will be done unto us. And faith is like a muscle. We must exercise the faith. And the best exercise of the faith is hearing the word and acting upon it, doing what the word of God says. That's the best exercise of faith. Martha shared her doctrinal correctness with the life giver himself. And Jesus is saying to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Wow. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Let's see if you're ready for a radical biblical statement. You ready? Whether you're ready or not, here it comes. The resurrection is not an event. It is the person of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Jesus himself said that. And I repeat this again. The resurrection is not an event. It is the person of Jesus Christ. And point number three, it is intimacy with Jesus rather than thorough knowledge of the scriptures that will bring eternal life into human soul. Jesus Christ is the life. He is eternal life. Take a look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And verse 2 we read, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, we read this. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. My friends, those who are listening or watching us, are you having Jesus abiding in you? Do you realize that if Jesus is in you, you have eternal life. And you will not have to worry to earn it. And you know what Jesus does? He stands at the door and knocks. Whoever will open, he says, I will come in. Jesus is willing to come in. Are you willing to let him in? So if you're sitting here today and you can prove to me from the scriptures all the biblical truth, all the teachings, what the Bible teaches, and not knowing Jesus, you are losing your life. Yes. Let me tell you a story. It took place in the 18th century in one of the states. Story of a black boatman as he was taking a professor across the wide river. The boatman was an uneducated man. This was his only source of income. That's the only thing he could do. He was paid for it a little bit. So as they are coming to the middle of the river, the professor is asking him a question. Do you know anything about mathematics? And the boatman said, I don't know anything about it. And the professor said to him, man, you just lost one-third of your life not knowing about mathematics. And he kept rowing. And the professor asked him another question. Do you know anything about astronomy? He said, no, I don't know anything about astronomy. And he kept going. The professor said to him, man, you just lost two-thirds of your life not knowing about the astronomy. At that time, a large wave hits the boat on the side and it flips over. And as both of them fall into the water, the professor, the development cried out to the professor, do you know anything about swimming? And the professor, grasping the air and the water together, shouted, no, I don't know anything about it. And the boatman said, man, you just lost all of your life. You just lost all of your life. My friend, if we don't have Jesus, we're losing all of our lives. Do not get me wrong. Education is important, has place in our lives. Knowledge is important. The doctrines are important, but they are not saving us. It is Jesus who saves us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is Jesus in you, the life of Christ in you. That's what will save you, my friends. Verse 26. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Point number four. You will never die if you are trusting in the atoning death of Jesus Christ. In verse 25, Jesus refers to a death here. In verse 25, it says, he who believes in me will live even if he dies. This is the reference to the first death, which is asleep. In verse 26, Jesus refers to eternal death. Look at this. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? The disciples died. They died first death. But eternal death, they will never die. Neither you, if you believe, if you trust in the atoning death of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said in John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Let me break it down for you. He who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. You see, eternal life is not a future reward, my friends. Eternal life is a present reality and will not come into judgment but has passed from death unto life. Wow. You may be sitting here today fearful of judgment or of the second death. I have a good news for you. The second death is no longer in your future. Why? Because your second death, the judgment had fallen on Jesus on the cross. It's no longer in your future. Jesus was willing to lose his own existence in order to save you and me from that judgment and from the second death. He was not dying on the cross, regular first death, you see. Let me try to explain to you. You see, the Jews equated the death on the cross with hanging on a tree. It meant for them eternal death, second death, the curse of God. In Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says, curses everyone who hangs on to Christ became cursed for us. That's what it says. And the high priest at the time of Jesus was Caiaphas. Caiaphas belonged to the party of Sadducees. Sadducees did not believe in resurrection. Jesus challenged their belief by raising people from the dead and by raising people from the dead and saying that he will rise in 3 days. The Sadducees became the most bitter enemies of Jesus. That's why they were stirring up the crowd to cry out, crucify him, and Jesus submitted to it, even to the death of the cross. Wow. They wanted Jesus to experience the eternal death, the curse of God. They wanted to be sure that he will never rise again. And Jesus submitted to it. You know why? Because he loves you that much. Let me tell you how much he loves you now. You may not have heard this before. I mentioned this number of times. This is the love of God for you, my friends. In John 17:23, Jesus was praying to the Father in the presence of his disciples, and he's saying these words in prayer, Father, that they may know that you love them as you love me. I will paraphrase so you can actually hear what Jesus has to say here. It simply says, God the Father loves you not less than he loves Jesus Christ. Yes, you heard me right. These are the words of Jesus. That's what he is conveying in John 17:23. God the Father loves you, loves me, not less than he loves Jesus. Me, a sinner? Yes, hallelujah, praise God. And in John 15:9, Jesus said, just as much as Father loves me, I love you that much. Here you have it. God the Father loves you infinitely, and God the Son loves you infinitely. Then Jesus, to make sure that we are getting it, he went to the cross and he signed his own blood, what he just said. And as he's being on the cross, tempted three times, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross and save yourself. Jesus could do it. But he could not, by coming down from the cross and saving himself, save us also at the same time. He had to make a choice, and the choice that he made, my friend, should speak loudly to your heart today. Something very simple, yet so profound, that it should leave you in tears as you let this thought sink into your mind. Here's what that action of Jesus on the cross, who never spoke this, but his action speaks louder than the words. This is the action of the gentleman. He is simply saying to you through this action, my son, my daughter, I love you more than I love myself. And he died. This, my friends, who God is, God who took your judgment and your second death upon himself, the curse that was pronounced on the entire planet, curses the ground for your sake, will produce thorns and thistles. And then on the cross of Jesus, you could see what was on the head of Jesus, the crown of thorns, the symbol of curse. Your curse, my friend, my curse was upon him on the cross. So our second death has fallen on Jesus. It was lifted up from us, from you and from me, my friend. It's no longer in your future. Are we rejoicing in it? What are you going to do about this Jesus? Are we still going to go around his word when he says something to us lovingly? That he wants to make us, remake us into his likeness, that we may fully reflect the character of God, because time is running very short. The Lord is coming. There is no more time to waste. No more time, my friends. It will never be the same. It's time for us to awaken. In Jesus we have our death. In Jesus we have our resurrection and our life. If you have Jesus, you have it all, my friends. You have it all. You already died the second death if you have Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have the resurrection. If you have Jesus, you have eternal life. Wow. Because God has placed the resolution of sin problem not on me or on you. He placed the resolution on Jesus Christ. And God accepted Jesus and his death as mine and as yours. What a liberating thing it is that we may grow freely into Christ. Wow. You see, Christianity, as my friend was telling me, Christianity is the only religion where you begin with perfection. Any other religion where you try to earn your perfection and your acceptance with God is a pagan religion. Have you heard the religion that says you do your best and God will do the rest? This is also pagan religion. This is a mixture of Christianity and paganism. And that all comes from the Rome today. This is the Catholic gospel. Now, as he accepted Jesus and his death as mine, now God makes his life available to you and to me. And what kind of life did God offer to us? Some people say victorious life. I agree, victorious life. But what kind of victorious life can endure for eternity? I mean, some people saying the eternal life. What kind of eternal life can endure? It's only victorious life that can endure. Only victorious. God had given us the life of Christ, the victorious life of Christ. So we are to focus not to be resurrected, my friends, but we are to focus to have the resurrection in us, Jesus himself. I am the resurrection and the life. Are you having the resurrection in you, my friends? If not, at the end, the Lord will speak to you through his words. Jesus wants to indwell in us. He wants to be intimate with us, with me and with you, to save us from sin. Because according to Matthew 1:21, salvation is not just only to make it to heaven, as my friend would say, and live there forever. No. According to the Bible, Matthew 1:21, salvation is deliverance from sin. For Mary will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people in their sins. If that's how your Bible reads, please get yourself a real Bible. The Bible says, for he will save his people from their sins. That's the meaning of salvation. Salvation from sin. Deliverance from sin. So, and he is standing at the door right now, my friends, according to Revelation 3:20. And he says, I'm standing at the door and knock. Whoever will open, I will come in. Have you opened the door for him? He is willing to come in. Are you willing to let him in? And not just as a visitor, but as a resident. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. You see, Jesus already lived in human flesh. Let me give you just a brief description of Revelation 3:20. He already lived in human flesh. Divinity involved humanity, and he conquered sin in the flesh. And the reason why Jesus wants to come into my life and yours is because he wants to repeat the same experience in our lives. Let him in, my friend. You'll have peace. You'll have victory. There is no sin, either inherited or cultivated, that cannot be overcome. We've been told. And it will be Jesus in you who will conquer sin in your life. Because when Jesus is in you, he is even not attracted to sin. He's attracted to all righteousness and holiness. That's what we will be experiencing when Christ is in us as a resident. Back to verse 24. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Martha knows the doctrine, but still does not know Jesus as the resurrection and the life. Is it possible that we may be sitting in the churches for a long time, listening to the Word of God, but remain dead in sin? Time to time, we all can find ourselves there, but we don't have to remain there, my friends. We don't have to. We may be knowing all our beautiful, superior doctrines, biblical doctrines, teachings, but not knowing the resurrection himself that can bring eternal life, joy, and the resurrection into our souls from the spiritual deadness, that we could have that peace that surpasses understanding, that we can actually glorify God as a movement. You know, we were not designed to be on this planet that long, no? Point number one, the purpose of trial is to glorify God. Point number two, God's children avoid being in darkness and stumbling because they have the light, Jesus himself, in them. And having the light in you, Jesus Christ, we will not stumble. We will have courage and boldness and peace. Point number three, it is intimacy with Jesus that brings the eternal life and hope and joy into the human soul. And point number four, you will never die if you're trusting in the atoning death of Jesus Christ. And now we're moving to our last point. Reading from verse 38, Jesus, again, being deeply moved, 38, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave and a stone lying against it. Wow. Look at the striking similarity of the tomb of Jesus and the tomb of Lazarus. Everything here speaks about the fact that Jesus is about to switch places with Lazarus. And verse 39, Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Some version says, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the disease, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." Wow. Wow. Jesus, in verse 39, is very straightforward. You hear what he said? Take away the stone. The question for us, my friends, today is, through the words of Jesus, is there any stone in your life that keeps you dead in sin? If it is, hear the words of Jesus. Take away the stone. Some may be worried that if the stone is taken away, it may cause a big stink. But unless the stone is taken away, there is no evidence of resurrection. Verse 40. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Oof. My friends, have you seen the glory of God? Let me tell you how you could see the glory of God. Every time someone is raised from the dead, God is glorified. Every time someone by faith acts upon the word of God, is raised from the dead, from being dead in sin, into a newness of life, that's when God is glorified. You could see the glory of God then.
Amen.
Want to see the glory of God? You know what to do, my friend. So point number 5. Take away the stone. Because God wants to use you and me to reach out to those who never heard of Jesus, never discovered the fullness of the gospel, the character of God, as a loving and compassionate Father. And besides, you want to begin the walk with Jesus, being alive unto God, and not being dead in sin. Verse 43, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Wow. Another portion of this last point is, come forth. Take away the stone. Come forth. As the stone is taken away, please hear these words, my friends. Come forth, as Jesus is saying, from being dead in sin into the newness of life. There is no reason for Lazarus to remain dead because Jesus was about to take his death in a tomb. Through the offering of his life. And there's no reason for you or for me to remain enslaved by sin, because Jesus conquered sin in the flesh and he is offering his victorious life to you and to me. And the Bible says, he condemned sin in the flesh. Conquered and condemned sin in the flesh. And by the way, let me give you a little keep here. There's a strange doctrine today teaching that Jesus came in the flesh of Adam before fall. He could not condemn sin in sinless flesh. He could not. There was nothing to condemn. Please think about this. The Bible said he condemned sin in the flesh. in order to say to Lazarus, to me and to you, come forth, Jesus had to make a commitment to go to the cross. In order to say, unbind him, Jesus had to commit to live the life of victory over sin, so he can make his overcoming life available to you and to me, so we can be unbinded and freed from the sin that's so easily entangling us. Are you taking hold of the life of Jesus, my friends? So if someone is sitting and listening to this today, that you find yourself bound by sin, as with grave clauses, just like Lazarus was bound, dead in sin and bound with grave clauses, there's a hope for you. Here's what you need to do. Change the name of Lazarus in this verse into your name and hear the words of Jesus. Come forth. Come forth. Wow. Jesus could command it. And Jesus, his word, can do it. In the Desire of Ages, I've read that if Jesus would not say the name of Lazarus, particularly, Lazarus come forth, all grace would have been open and all day would have been risen there in that graveyard. Because his word is a life-giving, has power and authority. I'll quote you my favorite statement from Christ Object Lessons, page 38. In every command and in every promise of the word of God, there is a power, the very life of God, by which the command may be fulfilled and the promise realized. And he who by faith receives the word of God is receiving the very life and the character of God. Oof, this is such a profound statement. Every time I quote or read this statement, it gives me goosebumps. How much is there? So when Jesus speaks, something happens. And as his words are sounding today again, something must and will happen. Do you believe it? So then if you believe, take the words of Jesus personally. Wherever you may be, sitting in your room now, because we cannot be together in the sanctuary, there might be a person that must take this personally. Jesus is calling your name, saying, take away the stone. Come forth. Unbind him. And let him go. And all his beatings are also enabling. When God raises you, he also commands to unbind you. When God raises, he also commands to unbind you. Please hear it. He wants you to be free from sin that entangled you. Just allow the power of God's word to be active in your life, my friend. And will be active if you choose to believe and act upon it. So 5 points came out today. So Jesus came to save us from sin. Not in our sin. God wants to save each one of us, and he will, unless we resist it and continue to cling to sin. He is not planning to take the seed of sin, as my friend again would say. He is not planning to take the seed of sin back to heaven. 5 points came out today. Point number one. Well, if you are sitting now, by hearing it, and any of these points will be convicting you, do not resist the Holy Spirit. Do not resist the Word of God. This is the time to respond to God, not to me. Point number one, the purpose of trial is to glorify God. So if you are going through trials today and not benefiting from it, not praising God for the opportunity to mature and to glorify God. Why don't you kneel where you are, as we will be concluding with prayer shortly? Point number two, God's people, avoid stumbling and being in darkness and fear because they have the light in them. If there's a darkness in our life and we stumble because the light is not in us, the challenge is to invite the light to come in. And Christ in us will not stumble. We need Christ in us. He will keep us from fear. Point number three, it is intimacy with Jesus that brings eternal life into a human soul. So, if you know your Bible from cover to cover, but you do not yet have the intimate relationship with Jesus, and not having that resurrection in you, you may be, with all the knowledge, still being slave to sin. Jesus wants to come in. He wants to be intimate with you, that Christ in you will overcome every besetment of sin in your life, and Christ in you will bring peace to your life and joy. Point number four, you will never die if you trust in the atoning death of Jesus Christ. My friends, if you never allowed God to love you fully and completely, and today, maybe by the grace of God, you have seen the glimpses of God's love for you, who loves you more than he loves himself. He will never allow you to suffer more than you can endure. You are like a precious silver for him. At some time, you may end up in fire, but he always keeps his eye on you. He will not take his eye for a split second from you. He doesn't want that any of the silver will be destroyed. Are you allowing God to love you? If not, this is your opportunity. Open your heart. Surrender to him. Invite him in. He is willing to come. For he is standing at the door and knock. Whoever will open, he said, I will come in. He will not force himself. Point five. Take away the stone and come forth. There's no reason, my friends, for us to remain in sin. So if there is a stone in our lives that keeps us dead in sin, we must repent. We must take away the stone. We must, if it's too heavy for you, ask the Lord to take away, give him permission to take away the stone. But first, he gives you that opportunity. It will remove the block, and the Holy Spirit will flow freely into your life. Don't you want this? Especially in these last days of the earth history. Jesus is coming soon. Let us pray.
Amen.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and thank you for your word, for your love, your compassion. We thank you even for the trials that you allow in our lives, in order to mature us and to prepare us for eternity. Lord, strong points came out today through your word. Our hearts are touched and moved and convicted, and I pray for every person that was hearing, watching, or will be hearing and watching this message, Father. I pray for your grace upon each one of us, for your Spirit to move upon each one of us. Give us a willing heart to submit to you, Father, and to begin to glorify your name in spite of any trial. This is one of the reasons how the trials come to the end fast. So, Father, him, there is a darkness in our lives, and we stumble. Because the light is not in us. We repent and we invite the light, Jesus Christ, to come in. We give you permission, Father. Keep us from stumbling. Keep us from stumbling, Father. We crave that intimacy with Jesus, the eternal life, and the resurrection. We want to have Jesus, and with Jesus, we will have it all, Father. And thank you for the promise that we will never experience the eternal death if we embracing the atoning death of Jesus on our behalf. Thank you, Father. We give you permission to love us as much as you want. We belong to you, every breath, everything we have, everything we are, Lord, we are yours. We surrender to you completely. And lastly, Father, if there is a person that is listening today and under conviction and need that push, Lord, to remove the stone from their lives, oh, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will come with such a might and power that there will be decisiveness in the heart of a person, that this will be done, that your people will be ready for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for the time is short, Lord, that your people will reflect Christ Jesus fully and being united and like-minded, Father, your commission will be finished in no time. And Jesus will come and put the end to sin and lawlessness and wickedness on this planet. We thank you, Lord, that as you begun this good work in us and on this planet, you are faithful to complete. You stretch out your hand, Father, and you will not relent until you finish this work. And I pray for everyone that will submit to your working, Lord, and find peace in you and with you. For you already made peace with us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.